treating people right. When the amplifiers are cooled down, the guitar's put away. I put that Vic in the hammer lane, and this is what I'll say. Well, that road.
Ever since its beginning, country music has tended to address some very dark subject matters. The genre is littered with songs of cheating, fighting, and stealing, but it is the darkest of all subjects that is likely the guiltiest of pleasures and the most popular subject in country music song history. I'm speaking, of course, of the murder ballad. The murder ballad, in fact, is so popular amongst country music that if you just tried to count the number of songs that would fit this subject, you would be, as James Joyce said when describing eternity, moving a beach one grain of sand at a time. So as your host, I have scoured the archives of country music and found 13 of the bleakest, most chilling murder ballads of all time. So, pull out your gun and shoot a man in Reno just to watch him die. This is That One Show, the Country Music Murder Ballad Spooky Season Special. The murder ballad can be traced back centuries ago to Scotland and England. One of the most famous in all of folk music history is Knoxville Girl. You see, it is essentially the same ballad of the centuries-old Wexford Girl, but with it sitting transported from Ireland to Knoxville, Tennessee. This song is the best example of Appalachian roots on the early country music scene. Unfortunately, the word femicide was coined because of stories like these from the 19th century, when narrators, mostly male, killed their significant others. Perhaps if those narrators had just popped the question and asked their lovers to marry them, there may have never been a murder. But murder, this narrator does, and with such a brutal description, combined with the perfect blood harmonies of the Louvin brothers, makes this song about a vicious killing as like it's a China doll. Both beautiful and creepy. Here are the Louvin brothers with Knoxville Girl.
Picked a stick up off the ground and knocked that fair girl down. She fell down on her bended knees, for mercy she did cry. Oh, Willie dear, don't kill me here, I'm unprepared to die. She never spoke another word, I only till the ground around me within her blood did flow.
As with Knoxville Girl, a lot of other American murder ballads are actually just modified versions of those from centuries ago in England and Scotland. For example, the English ballad, The Gosport Tragedy, of the 1750s, and had both murder and vengeance on the murderer by ghost of the murdered woman and her unborn child, who call upon a great storm to prevent the murderer's ship from sailing to freedom, eventually tearing him apart. In contrast, the Kentucky version of this, Pretty Polly, is a stark and blood-soaked murder ballad with the victim being betrayed by the man she loved, stabbed in the heart and buried in a shallow grave. And the epilogue of the song describes her killer being hanged by the community and his soul burning in hell for all eternity to pay his debt to the devil for the crimes he was guilty of. Here is Ralph Stanley with Pretty Polly.
Then you let her a little farther, and what did she find? Let her a little farther, what did she find? You don't play with a straight line by. And she knelt down before him, a-pleading for her life. Polly, pretty Polly, that never can be. Polly, pretty Polly, that never can be. Your past reputation's in trouble for me. Then he opened up her bosom as white as any snow. He went to the jailhouse and what did he say? He went to the jailhouse and what did he say? Killed Pretty Polly and trying to get away.
Lefty Frizzell's Long Black Veil is once again a song narrated by the murderer. The murderer, who apparently the killer's doppelganger, is in bed with his best friend's wife. And everyone and their mother has covered this song. And everyone wonders why in the world the narrator would choose death over just confessing to a lesser crime. That must have been one hell of a friendship. Now he's 6 feet under. His lover is forced to hide her grief. Her husband is at without his best friend. And the real murderer is still out there. Somewhere amongst all of us. Here he is, Lefty Frizzell's Long Black Veil.
I spoke not a word, though it made my life, for I had been in the arms of my best friend's wife. She walks these hills in a long black veil. She visits my grave when the night winds wail. Nobody knows, nobody sees, nobody knows but me. The sky flows high and eternity near.
Johnny Horton's 1959 when it's springtime in Alaska. It's 40 below is a cautionary tale of a murder ballad, which is basically the retelling the action from the point of view of this time, not the killer, but the victim. In this case, the poor soul makes the mistake of dancing with a lady who is the wife-to-be of some badass local named Big Ed. And Horton ends each verse of this song with its 40 below, eventually setting up one of the great payoffs in country music history with the song's final line.
All around the ceiling, with a caribou crawl and a grizzly bear, we did our dance on a Kodiak rug. The song she kept singing made a man's blood run cold. When it's springtime in Alaska, it's 40 below. I could be. I didn't know Lil was Big Ed's wife to be. He took out his knife and he gave it a throw. When it's springtime in Alaska, I'll be 6 feet below.
When it's springtime in Alaska, he'll be 6 feet below.
Lyle Lovett's song L.A. County is just like the scene in Quentin Tarantino's masterpiece of a revenge opus Kill Bill, in which a bride and her groom and entire wedding party get gunned down in the chapel right on their wedding day. Some folks might have a different definition for old friend, as Lyle Lovett refers to his 45 gun in the lyrics of this song, and it is unclear if the narrator was even jilted by the girl, but the gruesome final verse guarantees there's going to be a funeral instead of a wedding. Here is Lyle Lovett with L.A. County.
Blushing bright, and the lights of L.A. County, they look like diamonds in the sky. As I drove into the valley with my old friend at my side, and as she stood there at the altar, all dressed in her gown of white, Lord, her face was bright as the stars are shining, like I dreamed of all my life. And they kissed each other, and they turned around, and they saw me standing in the aisle. Well, I did not say much, I just stood there watching as that 45 told them goodbye.
A gunfighter is not necessarily a murderer, but the stranger who is the subject matter of Marty Robbins' Big Iron is a killer nonetheless. Yes, Texas Red probably had it coming, and yes, Texas Red himself had the blood of only over 20 men on his young hands. But no, the cold of this western town is not a viable reason for the ranger with the titular iron on his hip to gun Texas Red down. Still, the drifting lawman with good aim, who took justice into his own hands, makes Marty Robbins' Big Iron one of the Wild West's best murder ballads.
Morning passed so quickly, it was time for them to meet. It was 20 past 11 when they walked out in the street. Folks were watching from the windows, everybody held their breath. They knew this handsome ranger was about to meet his death. About to meet his death. There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the ranger is still talked about today. Texas Red had not cleared leather, for a bullet fairly ripped. And the ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
In the song Cedar Town, Georgia by Waylon Jennings, the narrator's woman is running around on him, so naturally he buys a .22. This song by Waylon Jennings is a song in which the narrator is plotting to do with that gun and the sharecropper's daughter wife after she spends his hard-earned money and makes a fool of him throughout the town. Even so, the egregious slights do not justify shooting this Cedar Town girl and her lover, referred to as a dandy, in their room 23 love nest. But it does make for a wickedly cold-blooded song, made even more scary by Jennings' calm baritone delivery. Here is the great Waylon Jennings with Cedar Town, Georgia.
Walking into work this morning at daybreak, I caught her with a tall, dark dandy from the break. She walked right by me and she looked right through me. I made up my mind what I'm gonna do. Eased in the pawn shop and bought a .22. I watched as the room clerk gave them a room key. Standing outside, I could read room 23. Tonight I'll put her on a train for Georgia. Gonna be a lot of kinfolk squalling and a grieving, cause that Cedar Town gal ain't breathing.
We'll take a very brief break and be right back with some more murdering. Let me talk to you a minute about my good friend John Thompson, specifically his law office located in Grayson, Kentucky. John has years of experience in all sorts of legal issues and matters, especially divorces, criminal defense, personal injury, and property situations. If you are a resident of Kentucky and you have a legal need in any of those, or any other legal need for that matter, trust me when I tell you, John will get the job done. Give him a call at area code 606-475-3174. And I will tell you, this has been a paid advertisement, but I have been recommending John and his legal expertise to people for years, so it's about damn time I got paid for doing it. Once again, if you need help with any legal matter, call John Thompson at 606-475-3174.
I want to take a minute to, for my Lexington friends and then anybody that's in and around Lexington, to let you know that on Wednesday, October the 18th, there will be a horror-themed fundraiser out at Pivot Brewing on 1400 Delaware Drive. They're going to have all kinds of great authors there signing, offering to drink with you, probably a little whiskey, a little maybe an old-fashioned, whatever you're poison. They're going to have games and prizes. Anything that you buy or anything that you purchase there, 100% of the proceeds will be going to the public library of Lexington, Kentucky, to get books to people who want to read. Butcher Cabin Book Fest, October the 18th, Pivot Brewing, 1400 Delaware Drive, Lexington, Kentucky.
Willie Nelson's album, Redheaded Stranger, is one long murder ballad telling the tale of the redheaded stranger who may be a cold-blooded killer, but is also somewhat of an American treasure. Chalk that up to the universal compassion for lost love, for animals, and to Willie Nelson's singular voice. Also, when listening to the title track alone, we don't know that he actually killed his wife, as is later revealed in the song Blue Rock, Montana. Redheaded Stranger itself resolves the penalty for the crime, and the widower is simply protecting his deceased wife's horse. Shame on that yellow-haired lady for trying to steal that horse. Here is Willie Nelson's Redheaded Stranger.
Gave us money, he just didn't seem to care. She followed him out as he saddled his stallion and laughed as she grabbed at the bait. He shot her so quick they had no time to warn her. She never heard anyone say, don't cross him, don't boss him, he's wild in his sorrow, he's riding, hiding his pain. Don't fight it, don't spite it, just wait till tomorrow, maybe he'll ride on again. A yellow-haired lady was buried at sunset. The stranger went free, of course, for you can't hang a man for killing a woman who's trying to steal your horse. This is the tale of the red-headed stranger, and if he should pass your way, stay out of the path of the raging black stallion. Don't lay a hand on the bay. Don't cross it, don't boss it, he's wild in his sorrow, he's riding.
Up next is Vicki Lawrence with The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia. And spoiler alert, you're listening to the killer the entire time. And unlike, however, Long Black Veil, Everyone fesses up to adultery and manslaughter in this labyrinth song of cheating and killing, which Lawrence took to number one on the Billboard Hot 100. However, while Big Brother has the intent to shoot his friend turned cheater Andy, it's actually his little sister, the narrator of this song, that beats him to the punch and watches quietly as her sibling is hanged for the crime. What's more, she apparently did a bang-up job of hiding the bodies of her brother's fooling around wife, who, it becomes clear, never really did leave town. In fact, she will be there somewhere forever. Here is Vicki Lawrence with "The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia."
And he started to shake. Well, the Georgia Patrol wasn't making their rounds, so he fired a shot just to flag them down. And a big-bellied sheriff grabbed his gun and said, "Why'd you do it?" And the judge said, "Guilty in a make-believe trial." Slapped the sheriff on the back with a smile, said, "Supper's waiting at home, and I gotta get to it." That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. That's the night that they haunted the innocent man. Well, don't trust your soul to no backwoods southern lawyer, 'cause the judge in the town's got bloodstains on his hands. Well, they hung my brother before I could see the tracks he saw while on his way to Andy's house and back that night were mine. His cheating wife had never left town, and that's one body that'll never be found. See, little sister don't miss when she aims her gun. That's the night that the lights went out in Georgia. Oh, oh, oh. That's the night that they haunted.
When it comes to songs about murder and death, Johnny Cash has more lyrical blood on his hands than any other artist in country music history. Folsom Prison Blues, Cocaine Blues, Delilah's Gone, Don't Take Your Guns to Town, The Ballad of Annie Palmer, and several more covers of other people's songs just barely scraped the surface. Not all of his songs that mention murder are ballads. For example, "I Shot a Man in Reno Just to Watch Him Die" may be one of the most famous lines in country music history, but it's a confession and not a story. The song "I Hung My Head" was written by Sting and was covered by Johnny Cash in 2002. Maybe the only song we talk about today that is the case of an accidental manslaughter instead of a cold-blooded killing. To sing tenderly of violent death is a performer's greatest achievement, but to actually hear a snapshot of guilt in Cash's voice makes this song one of the best murder ballads in country music or any other genre's history.
My hands. The sheriff, he asked me, why had I run? And then it came to me just what I had done. And all for no reason, just one piece of lead. I hung my head. I hung my head. Here in the courthouse, the whole town was there. I see the judge high up in his chair. Explain to the courtroom what went through your mind, and we'll ask the jury what verdict they find. I felt the power of death over life. I orphaned his children. I widowed his wife. I beg their forgiveness. I wish I was dead. I hung my head. I hung my head. I hung my head.
Most murder ballads are dominated by male singers and narrators. However, there are some great exceptions, such as the previously mentioned The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia, and maybe most notably, Goodbye Earl by the Dixie Chicks, now known as the Chicks. For the Goodbye Earl is a true murder ballad performed by women that shocked the country music airwaves back in the year 2000. The lyrics and video leave little to the imagination. You see, Wanda is abused and beat up by her husband Earl just 2 weeks after their wedding, and her best friend Marianne flies to her rescue and helps her to plot Earl's demise. Death by Poison Black Peas. And the two friends do a damn good job of hiding Earl's body, and then they start a lucrative business selling ham and jam. And most importantly, neither one of them lose any sleep at night. Here is the Chicks with Goodbye Earl.
Take them long to decide that Earl had to die.
Chris Knight's Down the River is the story of a man and his brother who are out one night on the river running trot lines when lo and behold comes motoring by two brothers that they once had a fight with. As they pass by, the brothers watch them disappear and head back to the dock with their catches from the night. When suddenly, a shot rings out, and the narrator's brother falls from the boat, seemingly shot and killed. Unable to ever find the body, the police rule this death an accidental drowning. But I'll be damned if the narrator doesn't know better, so he naturally sits out to get his revenge. There's no bravado celebration, and there damn well is not a feeling of vindication in the payback, as there often are in these songs. It's cold, dark, and it does not bring this man any peace. It's simply something that he has to do for his murdered brother, and he does it efficiently, and he does it well. But he's still filled with regret, and he's still mourns the loss of his brother. Here is Chris Knight with Down the River.
searched it up and down. Couldn't find his body, so they decided that he'd drown. But I knew better than Wilson bragged around town. So one night I floated down right above Wilson's shack. I hid in the woods till I saw him walk out back. I put a bullet in his head, dropped him in his tracks. And we went down the river.
We've established that for decades, perhaps centuries, country music has never shied away from producing murder ballads. Musicians release these songs as traditional ballads because they are the oldest form of crime literature. And we, the listener, listen to them because they are the first place to get cheap thrills based on truth. Then you have Kate McCannon by Colder Wall, a murder ballad telling the story of love gone wrong like so many songs before it. You see, Kate McCannon tells the story of a man named Tom McCannon and his daughter Kate, who is murdered by the narrator. The lyrics describe the narrator's encounter with Tom McCannon and how he met Kate the first time when she was bathing naked in the creek. The narrator fell in love with Kate and saved his money to buy a diamond ring and proposed to her. Unfortunately, one day when the narrator returned home, he found out that Kate was with another lover. In a fit of jealousy and rage, the narrator shot and killed Kate McCannon. The lyrics to this song illustrate the themes of jealousy, betrayal, and violence. The narrator's intense love and desire turning him into a murderous and destructive force when he discovers his lover, Kate, in the arms of another man. His actions are impulsive and driven by emotion, leading to the ultimate of tragic consequences. The raven represents death, the narrator's guilt, and the haunting memory of the murder he committed. Overall, Kate McCannon portrays a darkness and tragedy that can only arise from unrequited love and heartbreak. Closing today's show is Kate McCannon by Colder Wall.
My darling angel's not in sight. So I made for the creek where she and I didn't meet. I found her with some other lover. Kate McCannon.